Welcome to the podcast, Coping Kit for Everyday Life. I'm Michelle Porter, and I'm here with my friend and dear colleague, Genevieve Lowry.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to our podcast. We're super excited to get this started. And Michelle, I'm so excited to be doing this with you. We did spend a lot of time thinking about what to call our podcast. We wanted something that would speak to our child life people, but also something that connected to the larger community.
Yes, and that's where we came up with Coping Kit for Everyday Life. These days, we can really use a bag of tools to really help us deal with the both ordinary and extraordinary things that happen in our lives. We are hoping that our podcast is going to want you to want to share with us and learn more about how you can create your own coping kit by us sharing with you all the different conversations that Genevieve and I have had over the years, and really talking about how we use our child life skills to support children and families, ourselves, and each other.
Hey, Michelle, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good, Genevieve. How are you?
Doing all right. It's my mother's 88th birthday. We are celebrating this evening, and the whole fam is in town, pretty much. So I'm really excited.
Congratulations. Wow.
I know.
This is going to be fun. I know your family, so I know you're going to have a great time.
Yeah, and I should be so lucky when I'm 88 to look as good as my mother does and to be as sharp and spry as she is. So it'll be a really fun evening. And speaking of like important people in our lives, today we were going to talk a little bit about mentors and how mentors can really fuel our own coping kit and can be a major part of that. One of the things as child life specialists that we really do and provide is emotional support to children and families. And sometimes that's identifying someone else in that it's someone else who has been on a similar journey or path, who may have a similar diagnosis or experience. Someone who might be a little bit farther along in their journey or path, but who can really provide a sense of mentorship and how they coped. What are some of the tricks or tools of the trade that they've done and things that have helped them along the way so that the patient doesn't maybe feel so alone while they're out there?
Exactly. I think one of the things that, you know, we talk about, like you said, child life specialists, that emotional support, but also just in our everyday lives, the importance of support and how mentorship can play a role in having that support. Because the reality is that in order to help us cope, we need other people to support us and that we don't have to do it alone. So I think that's the great thing about having a mentor. You don't have to do it alone as you learn something new or as you go through a challenging experience.
That's such a great point. And I think sometimes that when a diagnosis happens or there's a challenge in our lives, that our instinct is to maybe close off or to shut down or to withdraw, to go within and find the people in our life that can really help and support us in a variety of different ways can really be empowering. It can really help you develop new tools and to sometimes see the world a little bit differently so that you can really hone those coping skills or develop a new coping skill by really just allowing yourself to be vulnerable enough to share and talk about your experience with someone else.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, that vulnerability piece kind of rings with me because a lot of times being sharing those moments that you don't feel comfortable or you're fearful, you know, we're talking about, you know, you and I work together with a lot of patients who were diagnosed with chronic illness, with cancer, the most frightening thing you could ever imagine. I still don't know what that's like to one day discover your child has a chronic illness and that you're going to be caring for your child and just the unknown of that and not knowing, like, how am I going to care for my own child? Or as a patient, you know, we work with kids of all ages. Now you're 5, you're 10, you're 13, and you're told you have cancer or, you know, you may have a chronic illness like cystic fibrosis that you're going to have for your entire life. And trying to manage that and figure that out. So having support and having people who've been through your experience or have a similar experience to you can sometimes be truly helpful. Or sometimes not even necessarily having the same experience as you, but just being open and listening to what you're experiencing and supporting you through it.
Yeah, I think, you know, for some of our patients, what was really powerful for them was this ability to not only be the mentee, but to also be the mentor, to experience that feeling of being an expert at something and having something to share and something to offer with somebody else really gave them a sense of empowerment. And sometimes that kind of like, I have something to offer. Yes, give them some hope. That's a great way to frame it. And that there's something to offer. So often our kids or the patients are on the receiving end always. And so to be able to give something back to someone else who's experiencing difficult times and to be able to provide, say, hey, you know what? I actually can help this person. I really can do something for someone, can really improve someone's confidence and self-esteem. And for the mentee, that can also be, oh my gosh, here's somebody I'm looking at who's been through what I've been through, and they're giving me the hope and the inspiration and the tools to be able to really face these challenges in my own life.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, definitely what we were able to see a lot of times, we'd have a patient who was further along in their course, and then we have a patient and or family who are at the beginning of their course. So we'd be able to kind of see like, oh, okay, like there is an end. There's another point, like, you know, to see like what it could possibly be on the other side after that experience, I think is very valuable.
Yeah. I think also about sort of unlikely pairings as well, that sometimes we used to do this parent coffee hour, and I always found it fascinating to see the parents who, none of them, often the parents, their children did not have the same diagnoses that came to our parent coffee hour. And I was always fascinated at some of the pairings that we would see sort of come out of that in the conversations and dialogues. They would have kids that have such different experiences. And yet, even with those incredibly different experiences, they would find some sort of common bond, some way to connect with one another, a way to help and support each other. And some really beautiful friendships evolved from those conversations and dialogues. And for us as professionals, it was also a great way for us to learn from those parents as well, like in order to then take that information and share that with other families that were also experiencing hospitalization or illness.
Absolutely. A lot of times I always say, like, I learned so much from the patients and families I work with that helped me to kind of help someone else, because, you know, they have this experience that I don't have and this knowledge base that I can learn from. So I agree with you when you say that.
Yeah. Which brings us to sort of, how do we think about these ideas of mentorship? You know, we're talking about it in the framework of kids and illness and hospitalization, but all of us have mentors in our lives. We all have people that we admire, that we look to, that support us, that are cheerleaders, that sort of build us up when we need something or help us identify problems or look at problems from a different perspective. That could be both emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, as well as it might also be professionally, right? So thinking about that today, for who do we put in our own coping kit as mentors? Who are some of yours, Michelle?
Well, for me, I mean, you know, when I think about work, I think about a colleague of mine, a colleague of ours, someone you know very dearly, that, you know, we had worked with for so many years, and she was a skilled child life specialist. And, you know, I just learned so much from her because, again, she had that experience that I didn't have. So she was someone that I can learn from, someone I can ask questions to kind of learn, you know, as I'm working with different cases. So something about that person who, you know, kind of is, they're where you want to be. So like, so you kind of learn from them. And, you know, I think about her and I think like how I'd watched her do her job and working with patients and families as a child life specialist. And she did it so effortlessly. I would look like, wow, I'd just be in amazement. Like, how did she do that?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something about that. And like, you know, being able to go to her and just say, hey, you know, I'm working with this family and I'm not quite sure, you know, what are your thoughts about that? You know, just a great sounding board. But I think something about mentorship is, I think about that, the ability to listen. I think a lot of times as a mentor, you know, that active listening is so key, is that a lot of times your mentor is someone you go to, you may go to ask questions, but a lot of times you just need someone to listen to you as you process and just try to figure out or sort out an issue or a problem. So yeah, I would think about that specific person at work. And then also think about, you know, mentors, you know, and another area too is like that article that you mentioned. I'm trying to think of, you know, kind of your champion to the cause. Like I think about, you know, one of my former directors that I worked with for so many years, that like she was my cheerleader for my cause, always just really trying to connect me with others and trying to help me to build up my career and making connections. And, you know, also cheering me on and just saying, hey, you know, Rochelle has this really great idea I want to share with you. So also think about like how you have those people who champion you, who are like your cheerleaders, who are always encouraging you and also, you know, kind of encourage you with others so others can see, you know, what you have to offer. So if I was to pick, you know, two areas, I would think about these two people. It would be Peggy and it would be Tony. who you know very well.
Yeah. Just to say something about Peggy also and referencing that active listening that you were talking about, she really had a gift for when you came to her with a problem, she never made you feel badly about the problem. It was always an uplifting moment. And even if she might have thought I did the dumbest thing in the world, but she never made me feel like I did. And that was always so reassuring. And she really had a very gracious way of giving of herself. And I think that is really what a true mentor also does. Sometimes I still ask myself, what would Peggy do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I want to focus on two different. So the article that you reference is actually based on a TED Talk given by a man whose name is Anthony. I'm going to say his last name wrong. So I apologize, Anthony, to you right off the bat. I think it's pronounced Tuan or Tajan, but I'm not sure. But he's the CEO of a Boston venture capital firm called Peaball Group and author of a book called Good People. And he identified five different kinds of mentors in our life. And Rochelle, you mentioned two of them, the master craft and the champion of your cause. And I'm going to do two others. The first one being the anchor. And the anchor is somebody that is sometimes outside of your industry or that's not connected to you sort of professionally, although one of the people that I'm going to mention is in a way, very much so in a way. And it's someone that you sort of can talk things through to gain that kind of like different perspective and that look for some of the cracks and the challenges and ways to really think about differently, but that they also always have your best interest in mind. And I'm going to say that person, I have two people. That person for me is my sister. My sister Roseanne is one of those people who you call her up and I can just talk about some whacked out crazy idea that I have, you know, and she'll be like, oh, that's a great idea. You know, but she'll also help me kind of taper that down into something really manageable. As you know, and have experienced, I can have some really big, crazy ideas. And sometimes I need those whittled down to what is really manageable. Or when I'm really facing a challenge or a crisis, she is someone who will just sort of listen and hear it out and say, okay, here, you know, let's walk through that process and let's figure out what those steps are without being so like, let's walk through this process and figure out those steps, right? The other person I would say that acts in that function is my good friend, Raya. Raya and I have actually been working together for a gajillion years. And she's somebody who also helps me look at problems and will be like, well, here's the issue with that. Cause she comes from a different background than I do. And yet we're both in healthcare. So we can sort of examine and look at things together using these sort of different lenses of them. So I can gain a real different perspective on things. So she's really great that way. And the fifth type of mentor that the article mentions is the reverse mentor. And for me, the reverse mentor would be my students. And I would say that that is true when I was working clinically, that my students often brought a different perspective, a new way to do something. They pushed me out of my comfort zone. And the same for my students at Bank Street, that they forced me to sometimes to take a different perspective, to think differently, to go, to really stop and think about something. And that pushes my practice. That pushes my practice as a teacher and an educator, a child life student. And when I worked clinically, it pushed my practice as a child life specialist. So even those that don't have maybe the same professional experiences as I do can function as mentors. I think what we're really talking about are who are the people that we learn something from or who push us to sort of our own growing edges to see the world in a different way or to see a patient or a family or a problem or a challenge or whatever it is from a different perspective so that we can look at it from all different angles in order to really solve what's ever going on or to understand something differently.
Yeah, I agree with you when you say that. Like, I think oftentimes we think about mentors and the mentor is the one who's giving and giving to the mentee. But in fact, we learn from the mentee. I feel like when I definitely had students, learned a lot from them. And now I get to kind of, you know, the students are really, my team members really manage the students and I don't really spend as much time with them anymore. But I do always want to make sure that I have conversations with them. And I still feel like I'm learning from them. And also I would have to say my team. Like, you know, I'm not like clinically out on the field, so to speak, front lines in a sense of seeing patients and families in that way. So they're coming to me and sharing with me about their cases and things they're doing. And I'm learning from them. I'm like, what? I don't even know about that. Or, you know, and I think that's the thing about mentorship is that everyone is learning from each other, but being open to it. I think that's key too, is like, you have to be open to realize that you can learn from so many different people. And then also, you know, and getting that support also. Because I think, you know, we talked about mentorship, about how you learn, that learning from someone else to help yourself and support you, but then also being able, mentorship in a sense of supporting you as you go through something. So I think there's like two different aspects of mentorship that we kind of brought up and that are so important. But again, going back to, you know, building that coping kit is having that source of support. You know, I had mentioned to you guys that I'm a life coach, and Rhonda Britton is the life coach who taught me. And one of the things she talks about is that you can't be fearless alone in the fact that you need support. And I think that's so true, because I think for me, I'm someone who typically doesn't seek support. And I've learned, you know, that how important that is. Whereas a lot of times if you ask someone, they'd probably be more than willing to support you and help you. But sometimes something stops us. We're like, you know, like you say, you have this great idea. You're like, well, I don't know how people are going to think about it. So maybe I won't say anything about it. But think about the fact that if you didn't take that step out of your comfort zone and wasn't willing to be vulnerable to share it, that idea never actually comes to be. I think about us, how we sat on a beach about 2 years ago and said, hey, we want to do a podcast. And, you know, it's kind of like, okay, let's do this. And that, you know, we started to kind of talk more about it and kind of seek support and ask different people and look and see, like, how can we make this happen? And I think that's how it's happening, by us, you know, because I did talk to one of my mentors about it, and she was like, oh, that's great. Yeah, you should do it. Why not? Go for it. So, yeah. I think that's the great thing about mentorship, how we can learn from each other. And just really that vulnerability piece, I think, is key to really, I think, to get the most out of it, to really be able to share your true thoughts, your true self with someone is key.
So we sort of described the mentors in ILRs and who they were. And I would say that most of those mentors just sort of like, they appeared. I didn't seek them out, so to speak. And I can tell you, like, if I thought about the qualities of all those people, it would go back to what you said earlier about this active listening, right? This ability to sort of listen, the ability to hear what I'm saying and not very non-judgmentally, and to be able to sort through things with me. So if we thought about, you know, how can we encourage others to really think about who are the mentors in their own life? And what are some of the qualities that might be good to look for in a mentor, right? It's not really just because someone is financially successful or even necessarily super successful in their careers, whatever they are, or whatever that means to you. But how can we help people figure out who would make a good mentor for them in their life? Or what are the qualities that they might look for? What are some questions they might need to ask themselves?
I think one of the things is too, you said something like sometimes the mentor actually ends up being someone you don't necessarily expect, like that relationship. So I think the first thing is like to look around and almost see like who are the people in your life, and even maybe some people that you may not even necessarily think about, and kind of think about like how that person may be able to support me. And then also think about like when you think about support, like what things help you feel supported. So like we talked about, you know, someone who actively listens to me. So that may be important to you. It may be someone like maybe you are looking for something related to your field, your career. So maybe you are going to look for someone in your work environment or in your professional environment. Maybe you're a part of committees or organizations. So maybe that may be where you look. I think the question too is the area. So the first thing you want to ask is like, what area in my life do I need a mentor? Because then that kind of could help you to narrow down, you know, who that person may be for you. And then I think, you know, also trying to think about the situation and what mentorship is. I mean, like we talked about different things, because I think like you also, because it may not necessarily be your career. It may be, you know, someone in your family or maybe a friend.
Parenting.
There's just so many different ways. So again, I think it goes back to that first question is like, what area of your life are you looking for mentorship or support? And then that can kind of help steer you in the direction of finding that person. And for you, like active listening, I think is important for me. Someone's just going to listen, because I do best with having, you know, someone that could be my sounding board. So for you, was there one or two things that you look for in a mentor?
Oh, that's a good question. think if you looked at all like the various people in my life, that they're probably all people that are creative and imaginative and outside. I hate that expression, outside of the box, but outside of, I'm going to use it anyway, outside of the box thinkers, like people who are willing to think differently about things is really important to me, because I think it's important to, for me, it's important that I can, that sometimes problems can be solved differently than sort of the normal pathway. And one of the things that you also said earlier about seeking emotional support, I would agree. I also think as women, we often think that we have to do everything ourselves and that we don't think about looking for that support beyond ourselves or even maybe beyond our immediate family or something. And that being able to ask for that, right, is not a weakness, it's a strength, right? That ability to say, hey, I need some help with this problem, I'm not sure how to solve it, or I need a thought partner because I need somebody to think this through with me, who would be the good person for that, or I'm having a problem with my kid and I don't know how to solve this, or I need somebody just to bounce ideas off of. Often as women, and maybe I shouldn't say just women, maybe as human beings, we have a tendency to think of that as a weakness. And I think it's really important that you brought up this idea in thinking of it as a strength, that is a real strength to ask, to look for, seek out, and ask for what you need from somebody.
Yes, giving yourself permission. I think oftentimes we don't give ourselves permission to do what we need for ourselves. And the reality is that we're important and that we deserve to get what we need. And the reality is that, you know, there are different people that can help us to meet those needs. We can't meet them all by ourselves. So important to seek support to get that. And I think this is, you know, just so important when we talk about our coping kit. And we really want everyone else to think about, like, how can mentorship be a part of your coping kit? So, you know, we always leave you with some takeaways and things to really think about. So one, you know, the question I asked you earlier, Genevieve, you know, we talked about is like, what areas of your life do you need a mentor? I think first to decide, like, what areas of my life I need a mentor. Then ask yourself, who are the people in my life who's kind of helped me in the past that maybe I can seek for support? Or, you know, once you figure out the person or the area, then, you know, then you can kind of start to see, like, who may be someone that I can seek that support from as you look for a mentor. So I think this has been like a really great conversation, and I really I'm hoping it's been great for our audience today and that they will kind of chat us up. We want you definitely to reach out to us, email us. You'll find all that in the show notes, and just let us know your thoughts on the comments about today's show. And then also any questions that you may have about mentorship, as well as any ideas of thoughts about show ideas or things you want to hear more about as we continue on together. So we thank you all for joining us today for our wonderful conversation, Coping Kit for Everyday Life with Genevieve and Rochelle. And we look forward to speaking with you guys again soon.
All right. Thanks, Rochelle. It's been a great conversation, and we'll see you guys next time.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today for our episode of Coping Kit for Everyday Life. We hope you take away something from this podcast that sparks your imagination or you discover a new tool for your coping kit. Remember to check out our resources and exercises in today's podcast notes. We would love to hear from you. Please share your comments, questions, or suggestions for future shows. You can find our emails in our podcast notes. Look forward to hearing from you.